DJ Event Planner will change the way you manage and run your business. Streamline all of your procedures and software into one easy-to-manage system. DJ Event Planner, the ultimate online planning tool.
Good evening. We are back for round two of our Monday night shows. This is the show where all things, all questions, all ideas are crushed into just a little pulp and thrown away. Yeah.
It's making friends. Okay. That's what we do here.
Making friends and stepping on dreams. That's what Monday nights are about. Good evening. Thank you for watching. If you're watching out on Facebook Live, we're also streaming this to YouTube, and that's where most of the people are chatting. But I'll be watching both chats tonight. So if you have thoughts, questions, ideas, or if you just want to say, hey, that's either chat board, go for it tonight.
Hey.
Hey. Wow, that was really insightful.
Now we digress.
Yeah, now we digress. So for tonight... Let's give them a little tease of what we're going to be talking about, MJ.
Well, those of you who missed last week's show, I pretty much told everybody they weren't DJs. I drew a line in the sand and said, you're not a DJ.
And I argued it.
And Shaney argued it, and it was kind of entertaining.
I cried.
We may do another show like that to where we just simply just disagree. It's kind of like the old, if you're old enough to remember the old Saturday Night Live show with Point and Counterpoint, you know.
Wow.
John's going to be the only one who remembers that anyways.
Wow.
I think I watched that on Comedy Central.
Yeah, it was black and white. No, I'm kidding. So I decided this week, since last week I told nobody that they were DJs, or very few of you, I gave you the credit of being an actual DJ. This week, everybody's a DJ. You're a DJ, and you're a DJ. And we're going to find out what kind of DJ you are, number one. Number two, if you want to be another type of DJ, we're going to help you how to become that, what's necessary to become that other type of DJ, and what you can expect by being that other type of DJ, what you can expect to get out of it money-wise and time-wise and fun-wise and everything. 50% less viewers tonight, thanks to MJ.
We've got a good crew.
Yeah. Howie Darkstar. Howie watched Point and Counterpoint. Thank you, Howie, for doing it.
I lost it. Nice, nice.
Nice comment. What DJ is that fit under, Howie? I just want to know what DJ that would fit under.
Hello, all mobile entertainers and MJ. Hello, everyone. Michael Jackson.
Sue, I don't get that one.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming out to the show tonight, and my bubble. Anyways, so tonight we're going to go through different types of DJs. They're not in any specific type of an order, but we're going to go about them. We're going to talk about them. We're going to try to give you our best input in areas, because certain ones, some of us have done, certain ones, other ones have done, and we're going to try to get you to help you define what you are and also how to be something. So we're going to start out first here with one of my favorites. Is one that I spent. Did we lose Dan?
We lost Dan. Just
man, I offended Dan so badly.
Dan just disappeared.
He's like, I just don't want any more of this, and I'm gone.
Wow, did I really offend Dan that badly?
Quickly, so he's
Dan.
Like, oh no, he just wanted to change spots. He wanted to be in the lower right hand corner. He's like, you know, I don't want to be.
Oh,
in the
he's
left
back
anymore.
Now. Thank you.
Okay,
that's okay. All right, so. We're going to start with the first one, with one that I spent pretty most of my life trying to achieve, the DJ slash producer. Now, this is probably one of the most diverse, I feel, of the DJ jobs, because it can range from literally not having a friend in the world to being what everyone wants to be. DJ-wise, you do at least at some level need to be able to beat match, but this is an honest true story. For those of you know, house DJ Afrojack had a hit. He was a producer, produced a song, then someone said, we need you to go on tour. Literally had to start asking around how to DJ just so he could go on tour to promote his song. And that's what a lot of, with these DJ slash producers, you're going on tour to promote the songs that you created. Many of you probably played the song Zombie Nation. The other one, I met him. He came in the city to do a show and got to talk to him. He's one of those people that's very much a producer. Did 20 minutes on stage with, I'm not kidding you, a plastic bag over his body wrapped around like a Mad Max movie, and just was doing stuff like this on stage just so he could make extra money. And he, you know, very thick German accents, like, I can't wait to get back to my studio and my big cup of coffee. And so it's, most of those tend to be more towards the music making side of it. You want to make it famous doing that, but you use touring and DJing as that. You will have to work with other artists. Touring is just an absolute must. You have to be on tour, probably out on the road more weeks than your home by far. One of the things that I've heard a lot of people talk about is consistency, to where you make a lot of tracks. You're constantly making tracks, constantly making tracks. You might put out 200-300 tracks a year just to get one that's taken to that. You also have to think long term, because very rarely do you make a song and then make a hit. Believe in yourself more than the whole world hates you, because you're going to have a lot of haters, you know, and that's something I think we as DJs, I think we ought to do a show, John, that talks about dealing with other DJs who hate, you know, because it's an ugly business. You travel light. Usually you don't have to take a lot of equipment, because the equipment's usually there in the venue. You usually don't have to take requests. It can be EDM or hip hop, because guys like Tiesto on the EDM side and DJ Premier on the hip hop side, where they make music and stuff like that. And that takes you to the final one about money. You're either going to make money, or you're simply going to do it because you love it. Nothing else. So what's your guys' thoughts on the first one?
I agree with that.
Sure.
I guess I'm the only one that kind of went down that road. It really, basically, I just committed my whole life to learning it, and absolutely everything I did was for that. I literally put out in my lifetime 11 albums trying to make it at this, just kept putting stuff out. Like, I was trying to put out at least an album a year was my goal. And some years I would put out two. It all depends on how it went. Then I'd take those songs and remix them later as the music styles changed. And I'm at the point now where I'm looking at a distributor to put out my 12th album of stuff that I previously had not released, to put it out to get it on Spotify is one of my goals, streaming places like Spotify. So I have a list of about 30 songs right now. I'm trying to narrow down and then get a distributor to distribute them. So that's the only way you can get them on places like Spotify and whatnot, just to get the music out there. But it's a different thing. You can, like I said, if you're successful and you're very musical, you could make a living by having one song that people like, one song, and go out on tour. And, you know, like the guy from Zombie Nation had that one song, and he made, if I'm correct, it was $5,500 for one 20-minute show, plus they paid for his hotel and his airfare. And that was in 1999. Mm-hmm. So think about that. One hit song, so you have a chance on that. But it takes a lot of work, a lot of commitment. I would not advise it to someone who had a family or even a pet that you have to take care of.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a lot of time. And that's why I never went down that road, and my friends have, because I don't have the time to sit in the lab and for hours and hours and hours. And then once you're done with that, you got to do it again the next day. I mean, you don't see daylight. Like, you're literally sitting in there for, you know, for 5-6 hours at a time trying to do it. And I don't have the time for that. So I can't, that's why I don't call myself a producer. Yeah, I do some remixes and this, that, but that's just little things I do. And that's why I would never say I personally am a music producer.
A friend of mine one time spent 8 hours in one day trying to get the perfect clap in a song. He wanted that right in a song. And he spent 8 hours trying to get it right. So that's the kind of thing like that. So we're going to move on. That one, like I said, if you have any questions, I will answer those. But the next one, I think some of the other guys and the guys and girls on our crew are going to answer this better. How to be a wedding DJ if you want to be a wedding DJ. I say no DJ skills required, because there are guys out there who rock a DJ set and are extremely talented that do weddings. Yep. But there are also guys out there that literally use autoplay on Megaseg or whatever. And I'm talking DJ skills. They don't have to have it there.
Yep. And their clients are, in many cases, are incredibly pleased, whether it's because mm-hmm. they don't know any better or it's because that's the accepted performance norm of that area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, again, it's like taste of music too, in a way. So if you mm-hmm. You might have a taste that you don't really want to hear the person mixing the songs. You want to hear the song finished the way you've always heard the song finish.
Yeah.
The second one, must be a people person. Thoughts on that?
Or be fake and know how to fake it well.
Even that's all.
You have to be in some form or fashion, or just agree that you're going to be the cheapest out there. Because if you don't have the people skills when you're trying to talk to them and trying to get them to hire you, it's not happening again, unless you're just so cheap that they're buying you for that reason.
And deal with their phone calls and emails and everything like that, because you don't deal with that with some of the other DJ titles. You know, if you're a club, if you're this, if you're a producer, that you don't deal with having to answer emails throughout the whole entire week. And sometimes 4 times a day and phone calls 4 times a day.
Yes. In the same point on that about people person, about you're talking about dealing with them, the opposite side, once you are that performer engaging the crowd, because I think that's totally separate even than the salesmanship and stuff that you were talking about, Shani.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, agreed. You have to be able to be personable, even if you're not the type of DJ that engages in the crowd and doesn't do interactive stuff. You still have to have that warm, fuzzy feeling when people are walking into the room, you know, as you're the DJ, and they should feel comfortable to come up to you or want to be on the dance floor. So you definitely need to be a people person in that way as well.
All right, the next two I'm going to slam together: reliable and plan ahead. Because I think those are something that, like for me, getting a job at a local club, I might get a call the day before, literally the day before, and I'm working. Unless someone gets a DJ that cancels, you're going to know a lot of your schedule a year, two, three ahead, correct?
Very much so, yeah. Yeah, occasionally.
I think you also have to, it's not just plan ahead for your events, but you have to plan ahead for your personal life. That's been, you know, a thing that's driving my wife crazy is I'm like, listen, I've got stuff for next fall already. So if your cousin's getting married, I might not be there. You know, I mean, if you're not, you know, if you're not telling me I had enough time, sorry. You know?
So you're saying make sure you mark your wife's anniversary on the calendar so you don't double book that day. Oh,
the anniversary weekend is there. The birthday weekend is there. The son's birthday party weekend is in there. Yeah. It's in there.
So that takes it to the other one. Good organizer pre and during the wedding, because I always talk about the wedding DJs. You're kind of the hub at the wedding between the catering and the photographer and the videographer and the cake cutting. You're kind of that hub. And that's something that it's almost like being a parent. You have a lot of kids coming at you with questions and you kind of have to be able to handle all of them, right?
Very much so. That you have that spinning plates thing going along, and then even then, there's times where running a wedding is kind of like trying to herd cats. sometimes it can be almost next to impossible. But being a good organizer and being able to predict problems or predict potential problems and head them off in advance is probably one of the greatest skills, greatest difficult teachable skills, or impossible to teach. But it's definitely part of that process.
I might make a recommendation. I mean, if you're tuning in and you want to know an idea of how to be a good organizer, if you've ever run into an issue with a wedding, something that you're like, oh man, if I had thought about that, I could put that, you know, make sure that doesn't happen next time. One of the things I do, I have my timeline. And in my timeline that I'm doing, the timeline for me, in there, I'll have a note like an italicized that just basically says, oh, by the way, don't forget to do this. So like, for example, when I go to do the cake cutting, a couple of things beforehand, I make sure that Oh yeah, by the way, there's a plate on the table because usually they put the knife in the server, but they never think about putting a plate there. And you know, I just say, hey, make sure that's there and make sure some napkins are over there. And that's just something that I do now because I forgot to put it a couple times and I'm like, went to do it. And, oh my gosh, we need to get a plate real quick. So it's a little tip for yourself.
A good public speaker. I think that's gone without saying that, you know, to some level you have to be good speaking in public, not nervous. Is that something that you run across in your lifetime, DJs who are afraid of public speaking?
I think I'm amazed. Let me start this one at the number of DJs who still don't get on a microphone at a wedding. And you'll hear people talk about it when they're a guest at a wedding and the DJ is either not making an announcement or every announcement they make
sounds like they're doing this all night long.
Where they just have
I'll have mine supersized, please.
Exactly. It really floors my mind that in this day and age, when we first started using the microphone, we'll call it, for lack of a better way to describe it, back in the late 80s at weddings, prior to that, we came out of the band in this part of the country. We came out of watching bands do weddings. Well, what did bands do? They would do their thing and they would tell a joke between songs and then, okay, we're going to take a break. That was the engagement that the band did. There wasn't much engagement. So as DJs, we just followed. Then in the early 90s, we started using this thing called a microphone and we've developed where today that MC side of it is almost a greater value. Yet there's so many out there that don't do anything different than we did in 1991. It just floors me that that's still out there.
The next one I think is probably one of the biggest things to me in my view of a wedding DJ is salesmanship. Because you are selling so much beyond even your own self, your skills, you're selling hardware, you're selling traditions
emotions.
Emotions and pageantry and everything. So moving on, taking requests. Definitely, this is one of the DJs that you are definitely going to have to take requests at some level. You have to know a lot of different music from a lot of different decades. I think that's something that, like some of the other ones, you don't have to know. I think this is something that I'm seeing a lot of now. And again, back to what you said, John, about guys or girls not speaking on the mic, that a lot of DJs need to know how to do the line dances and or direct people in doing stuff from a lot of different decades.
Shani, what do you think on that one?
About the line dances?
Yeah.
Or whether doing them or directing them.
Well, I mean, they don't really need to. My opinion on that is, you know, if you have the type of crowd that wants them, that means they know what they're doing and you don't really have to go out there.
And that's what I was kind of feeling too. Yeah.
But you could be like, all right, now everybody, you could say like, all right, everybody come, you know, face the DJ booth. All right, here we go. Now walk it to the right. You know, you could just kind of like start them off and then kind of like, and turn it out, you know, and just kind of like MC it a little bit. But then it goes to what I was talking about last week about if you are not a DJ that feels comfortable on a microphone, then you need to start selling a package that also includes an interactive MC, and you sell it as an interactive MC. You don't just sell it as somebody who's on a microphone. You sell it as the person that's making the announcements, that's making the bridal party introductions, that's doing all that kind of stuff in the middle of the dance floor, not from behind the booth. But then they're also, if you want the interactive stuff, they're out there. They're physically grabbing people and bringing them to the dance floor. And all right, everybody with me, come and face me. Hey, little Johnny, you come stand next to me. Let's get the beautiful bride over here. And then they're going to like do the wobble with you. But I know a lot of DJs are not comfortable with the dance part of it. And that's why in some of the seminars that I talk about doing that kind of stuff, like it's okay. You don't have to go out there if you can command the crowd with the microphone and get them going without you going out there and making a fool out of yourself because you feel that you're going to make a fool if you start dancing. So you command it on the microphone and you say to them, now we need everybody out here. I want you guys to face me. All right. And you kind of just like direct them with your hands and you know, and take it up and take it down, you know, and you do that kind of thing and you look fine because then you have that comfort level. But again, if you're a DJ that doesn't have that comfort level or feel that you have that voice command and don't want to take any classes and don't want to, you know, expand yourself, sell yourself with an interactive MC.
I think also 5 years ago, it was almost like we needed to be out there more than we do now. What I mean by that is the dances that are catching on as line dances now are catching on because of viral aspects. And so we're not needing to get out there and show, you know, everybody in the audience how to do it, because we've got a selective, you know, 20, 30 people who automatically know how to do it because they've been watching the video for the last 8 months. Where 5 years ago, before we, you know, social media was there, but it wasn't the viral aspect of the line dance. And so it wasn't, it was like, you had to get out there. You had to count it out. You had to, you know, be that interactive if they were wanting to do the line dance.
Cool. That's a thing that maybe a future show about line dances, and we can have Shaney do another night of them.
We'll have audio this time.
We have audio this time.
Right. This time everybody doesn't have to guess in the chat room.
Of all the different types
of line dance I'm doing.
Of all the different DJs, this one probably you have to have the most equipment, I think, of all of them. In my guesstimation, there's a lot of equipment involved in this, and both not only having it, but knowledge of it and repairs and upkeep and setup. And that's something that if you don't like equipment, this probably won't be for you. And finally, you make good money at it. You can make a full-time living at it, but you have to be willing to put in the time. Like Shaney said, you're going to be sending a lot of emails and making a lot of phone calls and meeting with a lot of people. But if you're willing to do that and you enjoy that, then this could be for you. Moving on. Next one is, wrong screen. Next one is DJ/MC. Now this is particularly towards someone who is mainly hired to talk, whether they play music themselves or, like Shaney said, someone alongside of them, but they are primarily a talker.
Like, I don't want to say a hype man, but they're more like a hype man.
Yeah. The hype man would be a good, no DJ skills necessarily required, because you can do that with either none, having someone else play the music, or very little and just pressing play. Enthusiasm, I think, is just absolutely, like, I want to take a step further even with this DJ MC. There are a lot of big clubs that hire someone to be the host for the night, and their job is to dress up to the tilt. And usually they're old guys, gray-haired old guys, coming in there in these suits, and they walk around and talk to the people and pictures and teach them dancing. And that's kind of what this is. You're the life of the party. So enthusiasm is just an absolute must, above and beyond the just like your average DJ, I think. Engaging the crowd, that's a given. A people person, yeah. You know, that's why I would never do it. I don't know. That's a tough line there. Would I play country music or be an MC host? You know, that's a tough one there for me. Great on the mic. This one, I think that looks are important. I think image is important for this type.
Agreed.
Okay.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah, you are the face of whatever you're doing. So whether if you want to even take it to the point of what's the guy who does all the boxing stuff, Michael
Buffer.
Michael Buffer, yeah. With his look, you know, he's not a young kid, but he has that look. So I think the look is really important if you want to do this type of thing. Taking requests, I don't even know how that would fit in there. You have to be able to work a wide range of events too. So you might one day be doing a car show, the next day be doing a wedding, the next day be doing the farmer's market. I don't even know, boxing match, whatever.
No, exactly.
Shaney, your opinion on this, is it a hard to make a full-time living at just doing just MC work?
Is it hard? It depends. Is it hard at first? Yes, because you have to find a niche. You have to get your name out there. You have to get people requesting you. Once people are doing that and it's not easy and it takes time, then you can make a living of it, but you cannot do it right off the bat, because people don't know who you are. Even if you have a promo video, even if you say, you know, come to our rehearsals, or you, I don't invite people to live events, but if you say like, come, you know, come see me in person, still it's going to be word of mouth. It's going to be putting yourself out there. It's going to take time. Eventually, can you do this full time? Of course you can. We have plenty of MCs that are just MCs in our company that don't know anything about music and don't have any DJ equipment that make it full time. But it's, we tell them, like, this is going to be a part-time job for you right now. Yeah. Until we get those phone calls that say, like, we want Shaney as our MC. We have to have her, and her name is in the contract, or you know, you have to do this, you have to do that. It takes time, and it takes a lot of work, and you have to keep up with the Joneses. You know, once you start getting older, you got to keep up with the young MCs, the young hip ones. And can you do that? And can you do it without looking weird? and can you do it without people looking at you weird? So that's a harder job of being the person in the front as the MC and having all ranges of people liking you. And I give props to all my MCs, including myself and anyone else out there that just makes a living as an MC. Cause you know, to me, especially here in Chicago, you have to have the look. Mm-hmm. We talk about that all the time. Like you have to have that look, you know, and people are right out with us. They tell us what they want and what they don't want in their MCs and dancers. And the, you know, we want the cool black guy. We want the hot, you know, the hot guy for all our divorced women. We want this. We want, I mean, they're straight up and they, and we're like, we got you. We got you. We will make sure you have that. So, you know, you got to keep up with what's happening out there. You can make a living, but it's going to take time.
You notice, Dan, she didn't say we want the old married guy. So I think you and I are pretty much.
Yeah.
We got to go find another career. We are.
I said hot guy.
I didn't say bald guy.
Old married guy could be the hot guy.
Yeah. You didn't say the bald guy.
We're gonna have to find a different career. What's next, MJ? Give us another one.
Thank you, because I really wanted to skip past my part in that conversation. next one is a club DJ. Now, I want to describe to you, this is the best way I can explain whether you're DJing in a club or a bar. You have to look at real estate inside the venue that you're at. What is the most area dedicated towards? Why is Dan laughing? Did someone make a comment in the chat room?
No, I can't see the chat room, but because for the longest time when I was in that field, I considered myself a club DJ. And then I realized after I got out of it, I was a bar DJ.
Yeah. This is the best way to tell. You look at the real estate. If most of the area in the room that you're DJing is dedicated towards dancing, it's a club. If most of the area is dedicated toward drinking, and that includes bar and tables and stools and stuff, it's a bar. If there's a bunch of couches and seats, that's considered a lounge. So club, you have to think of it. You walk in there, there's a bar in the corner, there's a bar here, maybe a bar upstairs. The rest of the place is open for dancing. That's a club. And that's the kind of DJs we're talking about here. And it can be both EDM or hip hop, because there are clubs that do both, clubs that are specifically one or the other, clubs that one night's this, one night's that. So can do that. You absolutely 100% have to be able to mix, blend, and scratch. You simply cannot do this job without, in last week's terms, being a DJ. Mm-hmm. You have to. And also, if you don't use I would probably say 95% of all clubs, unless you use CDJs or Serato control vinyl, you will not get in there and DJ. You cannot come in with a controller. You have to use one of the two things that are there, you know, that whether the opening DJ brings it or the club supplies it. So you have to be able to spin on one of those. That's just a given. Reading the crowd musically is tough, because it all depends on what time of the night it is. Whether you're an opening DJ, a closing DJ, party starter, which we're going to get a party starter here in a bit, and it's totally different. But I think you have to have a good mind to read the crowd and be able to switch gears in a heartbeat. Club life, Shaney.
Yes.
Let's talk about the club life.
God, it's hard. It's for those that don't think it's hard. Club and bar life is very, very hard. It's very demanding. It's very hard. And with everything that MJ said here, you really need to think on your feet the whole entire night. You have to watch the crowd, you have everything. But I mean, depending on where you live and what time you get done, it's a hard life. It's a really hard life. It is. And it takes a toll on a lot of people. And that's why you see a lot. I know we've talked about this in the past, that some very famous, you know, DJs came out and said, they're going into rehab, or I'm getting out of this business and this and that, because of the club life. Depending on what level you're at and where you're spinning, sometimes you have open bar. Sometimes they'll give you whatever you want. You know, when I spun in Vegas, they had a whole VIP table of like bottle service for me. And I was like, okay, that's great. But like, I'm up in the booth and I got to have my A game, you know? So it's like, it's a very, very hard life. Especially if you're doing private events and club stuff at the same, you know, the same night where you're leaving and then going right to the club for a set that starts at midnight or 1 a.m. and you're doing that, you know, and then that's a Friday and then you're doing it all over again on a Saturday.
Other nights of the week, because I used to do.
Oh, and other nights of the week. Yeah,
one here, probably about 15 years ago, I used to do Monday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So I was at the club till 2 a.m. minimum all of those nights.
Yeah, for summer now, they want me starting doing Thursdays and then Tuesdays here. And I'm like, Tuesday? Yeah, what? Alcoholics go on Tuesdays.
What do they call Tuesday?
Here they're calling it college night at the place that I'm going to be at.
Right.
But just because they're like, it's going to be more of like the college kids and we have like specials for them. But the spot that I'm at is open till 3:30 during the week. So I'm there till 3:30 spinning during the week.
And when we talked about earlier about being alert and aware, like the entire time you're DJing. So let's say we're there 4 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is, your mind is all the time programming and mixing a minimum of three songs ahead all the time. You're always like, I got to do this one into this one, and I'm going to mix on this one here, and I got to get this one ready. And after that, this one, then someone comes up, asks for a request. Where can I fit that in at? Oh, I can do that with this transition and this and that. And for four straight hours, your mind is trying to figure out how to put everything together and read the crowd and know, okay, they're not liking this. I got to go a different direction. Let's switch gears.
Yeah.
It's challenging.
It's reading the crowd. I mean, it's definitely is reading the crowd and just knowing all your music and knowing the music that just came out. Like that week,
that day. Yeah. There's day when Drake put out his last bunch of songs, it hit Spotify and I'm like, I have to have that tonight. Cause they're going to ask for it tonight. So I hunt it down. So,
oh yeah. Like I played like six Drakes and I think Kendrick Lamar, all that, as soon as those all came out.
Kendrick was another one. Yeah.
I had to have it all, made sure I had it for that night. And that's the kind of the difference between the club DJ as compared to like the wedding DJ, because you are kind of working off a playlist and the bride and groom would tell you like you could take a couple requests, but they have to be in this genre or they have to do this, or the last hour you could kind of take some requests if you feel that it's going to work well with the crowd. Whereas in the club and the bar, you're just all over the place with music.
Yeah,
you're going wherever the type of crowd that's in there that night.
And a good club DJ, I think, can keep them guessing what's coming next, can get really creative with things too. Cause I was at a club one time and this friend of mine, it's really good club DJ, in the middle of a club dropped Aretha Franklin's Respect. And the way he did it, and he did the hook only, the place went bananas. So we're talking, it was a college age group. So they're, you know, maybe the oldest one in there was 25, you know, and it's just about being creative like that. Night person, absolutely have to be a night person. That's all there is to it. This is my favorite one, Shani, whether you agree or not. Hustle like a salesman or drug dealer. You are selling. True. You are selling.
I'm a pimp. I'm a pimp in there. I'm neither one. I'm a pimp.
Hashtag the struggle is real. The hustle is real. It's we're not kidding you that you're day and night trying to get someone to hire you in. Let me just come and open for you tonight. Let's show you what I can do. Oh, I'm gonna open here and do that one.
And in my opinion, as much as we're saying like in the mobile business that people are undercutting us and people are coming in like that, to me, it's worse in the club business, because I've never heard a wedding DJ say they'll do it for free.
Yeah.
In the club and bar world, they will totally say, just, you know, let my boys in and I'll spend for free and just like, you know, a bar tab.
Yep.
And they're thinking, wow, I don't have to pay cash or I don't have to cut a check to the resident DJ that's been coming in. Okay, I'll give this like young dude that probably has all YouTube music, you know, a shot. And it's like, and then you get the phone call saying like, oh, we don't need you tomorrow night. And you're like, what? I've been resident for 4 years. What are you? So it's hard in that club industry. It's cutthroat. There's
real
haters.
Cutthroat. Oh yeah.
It's hard. And when I first got into it, I was like, I'm not doing this. I am not doing this. I'll stay mobile. This is ridiculous. And my friends that were club DJs were like, just relax. You'll get used to it. I'm like, used to it. I want to get used to this.
You get numb to the Facebook arguments and the comments. And I've had people get mad at me because I won't comment back to their comments about me. I'm like, I'm not playing your game. I'm the one who got the paycheck. You didn't.
Right. And I know somebody did write earlier about some of the equipment in some of the bars and clubs are not the best. And I agree with that. You know, I actually sometimes if I don't have an opener and I'm the one who's just like starting. If I'm in a certain bar and not a club, I get there early because I literally wipe down the whole entire DJ booth because it is just nasty. And like, okay, do I have to put a, you know, pencil eraser or gummy bear on the crossfader? So I have like something to use. I mean, it's just bad. Are the, do they have, you know, we have a Serato box for you. Yeah. Okay. I won't, like, I'm stupid if I'm not going to bring my own because you probably don't have two RCA cables there for me. So it's just bad. Beer spilled, all of alcohol, everything. Things are sticky that I don't even want to know what it is that's sticky.
It's just
bad in some of those, you know. And I know in one spot I actually bring my own monitor in. And that's just like, that's just for me because I want to make sure I have a great night. And I have like, like I actually have like one of the really small Evie 8-inch ones that it's just like, I love it. And I use it as a monitor too. And I'm like, no problem. I'm just going to bring my backpack and that monitor in because the bar doesn't have a monitor that I spin at during the week.
That's so, what I have. I have an 8-inch also that's, I specifically bought one of them just for that. That's its purpose.
Yeah. You know, cause
Equipment. That's one thing. Some equipment necessary sometimes on that, to make really, really big money, you're going to have to travel. Be willing to travel in it, and it's probably going to help you to have a booking agent of some sort. It's going to be tough. Again, it's all back to that hustle. Take some requests. Some clubs, they don't want you to take requests. Other clubs, they want you to take, so you're going to have to be that. Usually, you know a broad range of genres, but you kind of stick towards the most popular ones. It is hard to make a full-time living at this, but you can, but it's hard. You're not going to be a club DJ and make $50,000 a year unless you have the right hook and the right gimmick or whatever. So let's move on. Festival DJ, something totally different. These are where the producers usually DJ. Usually most of them are EDM or dance. Some mixing skills needed. Again, you don't have to be fantastic. Having the look helps. You will travel. So you're on a festival, whether it's festival circuit or hitting multiple festivals, and then you start getting the rules about you played the festival here in this city, and they have a rule in the contract that you can't do another festival within 100 miles of that festival within 3 months. That's a lot of people don't know that. So if you get booked, like say in Pittsburgh, and then you know within 100-mile radius, you can't do another festival within 90 days of that festival. Because that's part of the contract. They don't want you to bring more people in. So you're constantly chasing that in the travel. Usually very specifically of one type of music knowledgeable. You're living out of a suitcase. And that's all there is to it. You're just living out of a suitcase. You almost never have to take requests. You usually don't have to mess with equipment unless you want something specific yourself. And again, living at it, you're going to travel. And I used to travel doing it, living at literally nights I've slept in my car. And hope that I played well enough to where after my gig I was able to sell some CDs enough to make money to drive to the next place. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't make it to the next place. So it was hustle. There's been many times I was down in Nashville and a guy knew that I was stuck, and he said, you know, I feel you. He was an older guy, not older, but older than me. And he goes, I'm going to give you a little bit of money, get you home. And that's what got me home, the kindness of a stranger.
Wow.
But if you make it at this, you may make, you know, if you're really big name and you have a hit, you could pull $200,000 per gig. So, but it's a hustle. I mean, and it will eat at you. Moving on, bar DJs. Here we go. Venues that have little or no dance floor. And this could be everything from the little tiny dance floor to just literally people dancing in their chairs or, you know, move a chair aside to dance at the table, whatever. No mixing skills necessary, but it helps. It always helps, you know, can always do, you know, good with that. You definitely are going to have to know a very large range of music, a lot of decades, a lot of novelty songs, a lot of specialty things. You know, I think that's probably one of the gigs where you are going to, if you have a vast music knowledge, it's going to help you the most. You guys agree on that?
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah, when I was when I first got started, I was just playing around with something, and this was when Southern Hospitality came out or was out for just a little bit, and for the heck of it was playing. This was, I was in Tennessee, and I did Southern Hospitality into Sweet Home Alabama into Ice Cube, You Can Do It.
Nice.
And you would have thought like that was what it was supposed to be. I mean, nuts. And yeah, we had a music consultant who was out of Houston, Texas, and he looked at my writing sheet and he goes, "You can't do that." And I said, "Come here and look at my crowd. Like, come here and look at my crowd. Come on."
Yeah.
I have much respect for the bar DJs in the aspect that they deal with a lot of bull crap. Mm-hmm. You know, they just deal, you know, and especially the ones that are veterans that have been doing bars and these, and I'm not even talking about the ones that mix, even the ones that don't mix, but know what to play and deal with the drunk people coming in there day on, day out. And just
Jerry, third one, the next one, two down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Must love, I mean, bar people.
That's the
bar
thing.
People,
I mean,
are people, are a certain crowd. It's a crowd.
It's definitely, it's not the club crowd. It's not the mobile side crowd. It's like, and a lot of them are regular.
Yeah,
you have to deal with them all
That's
the
their
time.
That's
it's their bar, and you must play, you know, even though you're playing all hip hop at night, you must play Sweet Home Alabama because that is Susie's jam. And when Susie's there and Susie has her third sake bomb, Dan, you must play Sweet Home Alabama because Susie's going to get on that little tiny box stage that's all the way in the corner and Susie's going to get her groove on. And you must know that you have to do that for Susie, because if you don't, Susie knows every bartender's name, knows all the bouncers' names, knows the manager name, and will cause the biggest scene. And would you rather just play the darn song for 3 minutes and make Susie happy, or deal with the whole scene of the bar every night that you're there? And that's why I have such respect for bar DJs to deal with people handing them napkins with just like,
oh, oh my gosh,
40
yes.
songs on them. Like, I'm a Britney Spears fan and please play. And it's not even like, even a, like at that point, if she had current stuff, it's like old stuff and you're just like, oh, I mean, I have much respect for those people because I would probably be on the news for punching somebody out.
You know, MJ, you were talking about how you can tell the difference between a bar DJ and a club DJ. And you mentioned about the size of the dance floor. I think I would also add in the placement of where the DJ is.
Oh, yeah. That's sketchy. Yeah.
Because if you're in a club, the DJ has his spot and his or her spot. And it's most likely kind of set up to where you might be able to get to the booth to ask a question. But it's not like where they can walk up and put their arm around you and say, "Hey, how's it going?" That's straight up bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, no bouncer.
And half the time, too, the bars, your booth is a table that just happened to be someone who, right before you showed up, finished eating their dinner on it. They cleaned it off, slide it over, and you have to set up on it. You do have to take a lot of requests, and you're not going to make a lot of money at this. You know, if you get $200 on a Saturday night for a bar gig, you're doing well. You know, that's
very much so.
You're doing well.
In the chat room, Tim a friend of mine here is in the chat room. So good evening, Tim. Thank you for joining us. And we were just talking. He's wanting to get into a bar, doing some bar shows. And he mentioned that offering a two night for $350.
How many hours?
Generally, our bar
an hour?
Our bar show is 4 hour per night. So he'd
so
be looking
eight,
at
so he's 8 hours for $250 for two
for
nights.
$350 for two nights.
Oh, for $350.
But that's not per night. I don't think. Maybe I misread that. But that's generally. And that's
no,
and
he's just said 200. He just wrote 200 now.
Per night or for both?
200 would be per night because that when we first started in the late 80s.
If it's 80s, a bar, yeah, I mean, if it's a bar, that's
could be the
there's
going,
a bar,
going
there's
rate.
There's a bar
yeah.
I do here in the city. It's a college bar, a little tiny cram place, but it is. I showed Dan and those guys some videos a few weeks ago. It is probably the most energetic, lively crowd of any bar.
Yeah,
this entire city, and I get $150 for it, and I'm happy. I don't have to take speakers; they have stuff there. I just have to set them up and plug in.
Okay,
but
Tim, you said you might. I don't mean to cut you off, but you said might leave some gear there. Unless you trust every single person on staff at that place, I don't care if they say they're going to lock it up in the manager's office. I don't leave my monitor, and I have to bring it every week to that spot. I would not. That goes back in the car with me. Do not, please don't leave any gear because it might not disappear the first week, but by the 2 months, that gear is going to be gone. I'm telling you right now, I don't know how much gear you're talking about, but if you could schlep it yourself and carry it back and forth,
I wouldn't even leave cords there myself.
No, oh
the
yeah,
cords
no.
Be gone.
And I'm assuming there's probably other people coming in. I just wouldn't do it.
Now I have a buddy who at the place that I used to play, he would rent his system. So that was a different type of situation than what I'm assuming Tim is talking about.
Yeah. Okay.
But you know, we talk about cutthroat with the club, cutthroat with the bar DJ. It's kind of the same idea. You know, I'll play for a bar tab, or, you know, let my two buddies in and I'll play all night, you know, like that kind of ridiculous thing. You're leaving equipment there and they decide to honor, guess what happens? You're not playing on the night that you thought you were getting your system. And then if you need it or whatever, they might think you're holding a grudge, and then who knows what's going
to
happen.
Here's something to think about that's happened to several of my friends. They had a regular gig at a place, left gear there often. The place didn't pay their, as I call it, the drunk tax. In the city, it's a drink tax. They got shut down. He then had to show up with receipts of every piece of equipment he had in there before they would allow him to take it back. So, you know, something even like that, where the bar's fault got locked out by the city for not paying their tax, and your equipment's in there, you better prove that it's yours.
All right. He said, I was thinking of calling it rent, then add for nights I worked.
Some do that. I have friends that will rent equipment at places, and then
if you don't mind somebody jumping on it and something happening to it, or, you know, if you don't mind that part of next time you use it, something of it's broken or dented or smashed, then go for it. But
I have a friend
at a bar.
Yeah, I have a friend that leaves a mixer and two 1200s at a club, and I forget they pay him so much to just leave it there every week. He doesn't even DJ there. And because he has so many extras of things, it's kind of his way to rent. And he gave him the worst thing, and they do it. I mean, it's a nice place. It isn't a crashy bar. But anyways, let's move on, because we're cutting close to the top of the hour. Radio DJ, Dan, this is all about you, because my experience in radio is I did a pre-recorded show. So I did all my recordings at home, voice and everything, sent it to the station. They put it in their little computer and then rotate it every week. So mixing skills.
There's two different kind of right at there at the top. You have two different kinds: on-air voice or on-air mix DJ. When I was doing it, I did like a half an hour pre-recorded mix that we kind of got in about once a week, just because we needed to try and have something as a top 40 station. But for the most part, I was the on-air voice. So yeah, mixing skills for probably 99% of the DJs that are what you classify as radio DJs. Yeah, no mixing. In fact, the computer does it for you.
Yeah. The next two I want to put together, because the third one is the one that I was taught years ago, and it made so much sense to me. A difference between speaking well and reading well.
Mm-hmm. You need to be able to, for lack of better terms, you need to be able to speak. You need to be able to read like you're speaking.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the way that I was taught. They say practice reading
out loud. Really, I'm not very good at it.
Yeah, I was taught to practice reading out loud to the point where it doesn't sound like you're reading out loud when you read out loud. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was something that I think is really going to take you there. Musical styles. And the next two together, I want to throw together, because even you talked about, Dan, having a family that after not knowing different musical styles, you may be moving to another city often, and that other city may be a different style of music too. So, because you talked about that with having a family, that wouldn't have fit your life.
I think I would actually disagree with it. You don't need to know the music style so much. You have to know the lifestyle, the format.
There you go. Because a lot of stations have programmers.
Yeah. You're not picking anything. In fact, the next one that you have on there may take requests. You're going to make it sound like you are, I tell you right now, pretty much every station I worked at, if I put a song in and the boss didn't pre-do it, unless there was some royal screw up with the computer, I was getting called in. Why are you putting stuff in that's not in the log?
Nowadays with Clear Channel, it's a whole thing. I mean, I'm not going to get into it. I just know about it, but
they're not even in your, you're listening to a disc jockey that says he's from Pittsburgh, but literally has recorded the show in Miami, and it gets played in Chicago and Philly and everything.
Yeah. And well, like here in Chicago, and I know it's in other places too, like they'll have like the mix show DJs that are on the weekends that, I mean, they're not on live, but they send in, you know, their mixes. And then here, like we have, you know, Live at 5 for like an hour, like somebody like Flipside from here from Chicago is literally mixing live in it, but he's not the on air personality. You still have the on air personalities that are doing the show, and then like Flipside's mixing at 5, or, you know, and then, you know, that kind of thing. Cause a lot of my friends are the radio mix show people, but I'll be honest, they don't make a lot of money doing that.
We're going to get
and
into
that. And that's what it's going to get. Too. Yeah, that's going to, yeah. Yeah, I see that.
We talked about the club life and the bar life, Dan. Radio life.
It's like no other. It really is. And what I mean by that, when you get into it, it's often called you get the radio bug, or you don't. If you don't, you're gonna drop out in no time flat. If you do, it's very hard to remove yourself from it. In fact, you would rather get paid very little and stay in it than to leave just to make more money. And that's where I was for the longest time. In fact, the only thing that kind of got me out was I was working nights, I was married, and I had my teaching thing starting to come on board. I finally finished school, and I was like, I can either work opposite, you know, time for my wife and never see her, or I can get out. And I flat out told my boss, I said, if I had a morning shift, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I said, even if I had a midday shift, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And teaching, I'm making double what I made, you know, on radio. I made nothing, you know. I still don't know how we somehow made it work. But yeah, you've got to love doing it. And it's very easy to, it's very, very easy just to kind of fall into it and just fall in love with it.
No equipment usually, you know, even the headphones. Yeah. This is the part where the money thing, where I want to drift across this, because this is where I see DJs in this city make their money, going from doing a show on the radio, making nothing, to then getting gigs at clubs by saying DJ so-and-so from Kiss FM, from
yep,
whatever.
Exactly.
And that could even be stuff even onto like car dealerships. You know, you have DJ so-and-so from Kiss FM's hanging out. You may not even be playing anything at the car dealership. You're just there as a personality.
Look, I'm not going to lie. When I MC, my best friend is my DJ, and he is a Kiss FM DJ here in Chicago. And I sell that huge to the kids.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, hey, if you guys want, you know, a famous Chicago DJ, I could probably swing it and, you know, maybe get, you know, blah, 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 to be like the DJ of your party. What? He'll DJ my Sweet 16? Are you kidding me? Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. You know, and then like, and he hates this, but then I'll have him do those little DJ drops like, Jason Derulo, hey, you're in the mix with, you know, and he'll like do that before he does like a Jason. And he's like, Shani, you're so cheesy. So I was like, you don't understand. Look at these kids' faces. Like, we just got tipped.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, I mean, but he never knew the mobile side mm-hmm. of the DJ world, like at all. He just knew like, oh, I'm going to spin at this club, or the on-air guys are like, oh, we're going to host this concert. We're going to do the Jingle Bash. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And I was like, well, you can make money doing like mobile, you know, parties with me, like mitzvahs and stuff like that. And they're like, really? I was like, well, you got all the music. I was like, you have the best remixes. So yeah, I mean, and the sad part is they're making more money DJing with me mm-hmm. than doing the stuff on the radio.
That's right. So there's your idea if you ever want to get into radio DJing. You'll find out quickly. Moving on, party DJ. Now, this is the guy, this is different than what you're thinking, a party DJ. This is a DJ who is specifically hired to make people dance. And I'm not talking get on the mic, make people dance. He gets up there and he works a crowd with the music. And it can be any crowd, any music, any time. He's the party starter. You have to be able to mix. You have to be able to read the crowd. Not all of them talk on the mic. Some do. It's maybe a little hype here and there. Enthusiastic with both body English and your voice, I think, there. You may take requests. You may not. It's hard to say. A lot of party DJs don't take requests. They just drop their party set. Traveling is required. Like, one of the famous party DJs, I think, was DJ AM. And he was known for just going into a corporate event and rocking the party. You know, that was his thing. It helps to have a gimmick or a hook like that, like whether you're a radio guy or a DJ AM or something. I think that kind of helps get you moving into making money. Equipment, it all depends whether Shani hires you like that guy or you take your own. If you're good and willing to travel, you can make money at this. You
know,
if you're willing, like Shani said, you know, to do different gigs, being the party starter, you can work it. But you're going to work it a lot, so...
Yeah, when I go to California and I spin out there for the one client that I always do, they have like a song that I like did for, like I didn't make it, but like I played it like the first time and then everybody went crazy. And then my client was like, can you make sure like when we hire you again that, you know, you always play? I was like, yeah. And then like in my Serato, like in the notes, I was like, for California, blah, 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 you know? And it's like, it's now known that at certain times of the night, I always hit that one song and then their smiles, like my client, I was like, and good job, Shady. Like their smile, you know, but it's true. Like you just know, you have to know how to work it and you have to know, like, you know, have that little gimmick of doing it for them and they'll love it and they'll hire you back and they don't care where you're from or how much your writer said.
I with your head stage and go, this controller battles. Go look really creative. But that, yeah. Thing, but also we'll like walk up to you and go, it must be able to mix well to be a real DJ. If you can't mix, you're a fake DJ. You have to know all kinds of music very well. Play other people's mixes. You don't have to know music at all. You just play other people's mixes and pretend that you're DJing. Can DJ with controllers, CD or vinyl, a real DJ can use whatever's put in front of him. He DJs, a DJ DJs. A fake DJ takes other DJs' jobs, shows up, and then gets fired when they realize he's talentless.
He's
talentless. A real DJ puts in practice. Whether they get hired or not, they're still putting in practice because they want to be good. A fake DJ knows nothing about the cultures and makes no effort to become a DJ. Zero practice. Love Truth. Music. You love moving the crowd. You get so it's like a drug to see that crowd move. That a real DJ loves that. A fake DJ tells everyone they're a DJ, even though they own no equipment. They've also downloaded free software and created a DJ profile online.
I paid for Megaseg.
All right, that's cool. Then you're a real DJ. Highly creative, a real DJ. You love the culture. You love being a part of it. A fake DJ, after you create your fake profile online, you tell everybody you're a DJ. You can't take requests because you don't actually
this
DJ.
This is funny. I love this.
So how can you take requests if you don't actually DJ? And a real DJ will DJ for free or lots of money. He loves it. But a fake DJ will probably make money even though he doesn't deserve a penny. He probably will get hired somewhere. So that's my final thing on that. And I hope we've helped you understand the differences and maybe encouraged you to expand out of what you currently do and maybe give something else a try.
Maybe, but you know, I don't know. The kind of the fake DJ, you know, it's kind of like.
Yeah, I want to try the fake DJ. I think I'm going to try that.
I literally know a guy that got hired and I didn't find out.
My knobs.
15 years later, he auditioned at a club I was DJing at. And I mean, this is a big club, like 3,000 people. He auditioned for it, got the job. And then like 10, 15 years later, admitted to us, I was playing a pre-recorded set the whole time of my tryout. And I'm like, I just want to punch you and whoever gave birth to you for giving birth to such a
mama.
I'm gonna slap you and your mama because she shouldn't have given birth to a person like you. But now he's a very talented DJ, but he faked it then and got in. He got a job. But
that's called getting your hustle on. Fake it till you make it.
I will buy an NS7 and crack somebody across the knee soon.
I remember that show.
It's a good show, the NS7. Yeah. Which just had its 10th anniversary, by the way. So happy anniversary. Anything else, John? That's my whole show on this. And I already know what next week's going to be. So you guys have to tune in. We're going to talk about how to get started if you have never DJed and you want to DJ for the first time. So tell your young DJs to tune in. We're going to figure out how to get started in every aspect that's possible. Advertising, cards, talking, clothing, everything. The new DJ.
What nude?
Nude. There are those. I've had friends that play at places where everyone there is nude but them. So
I got a call for that one time. That was a very interesting way of.
I'm not gonna get into it, but I've done swinger parties online, which not knowing I was doing a swinger party.
That would
then they yeah.
Yeah, whole new definition to put the needle on the record. I'm just saying.
Oh,
whole new definition why the client was so nice to me too. I'm and like, they really like me.
Yeah, they want. Can we tip you?
talk about being interactive.
MJ, can, before we wrap up, MJ, I sent a picture to you via Messenger. Can you pop that up, please?
Why do I have to bring this up?
Because I saw this and I thought MJ's playing in Vegas.
Wait, I have to.
What?
Hold on. I have to do 20 things here.
Oh, if you, unless you can't.
No, because I just have to take it out of that to be able to share it better.
Okay.
So it's,
okay. So yeah, because Lori and I were staying at the hotel and we look down and there's this billboard and she's like, "What's MJ doing in town?"
show. Where was he spinning at? Did it say where he's spinning?
Yeah, I can't get it. Hold on here. I'm just going to share.
I don't remember if it.
MJ. Live.
Yeah, it was the Michael Jackson tribute, but she says.
But it's MJ.
But it's MJ, and that's the MJ. That,
see, and you could just cut that part.
No, you laugh, but if you give me another 10 seconds, I can find it. Where a couple of years ago, I was a part of a big youth event, and they put me on the billboard for the youth event.
Oh, that's awesome!
All over the city, my face was representing this youth event, and I was there with my headphones, holding them out like this, and it was like. People joke about it. I'm like, I was on a billboard. It's no big deal. You know, I went to the billboards and took pictures. I'm like, holy crap. Not a lot of DJs can say that.
I was famous for 10 seconds, man.
I wish I could find that. I would show it to you. Give me 10 seconds. I think I can find it. We're over, aren't we, John?
Yeah, we're okay. Yeah. Facebook got crashed on us. So we're just on YouTube. So as long as we're talking Vegas and the show is over and we can now we're killing time or not killing time, but we're going to go into random topics and such. So I was talking to Tiesto was playing down at MGM and was it Garrix? No.
Shane Smokers is at XS. David Guetta is at Calvin Harris is at Omnia.
Yeah. But they're talking about how much these guys are making a night.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they're making millions a year off these contracts, like $3 to $5 million a year off these contracts, and they're playing. Yes. I believe four nights is about the most that these guys are playing in town. So So Lori and I were walking past one of the clubs as we were walking on the strip Thursday night, and I believe it was. I don't remember. One of the big names was playing, and my question was you know, what's the cover charge? Because obviously, when you're paying a DJ that much, there's a cover charge. Well, because he was on a strip and he had the little tags and such, he was giving out free passes to go to the show later that night. Which I don't think that the main headliner doesn't go on until 11 o'clock at night. So it's like, okay, so that's that. What is it if I wouldn't have your free pass? Well, gals get in for $30 a person, and guys are $50 a person.
Right.
It's like, that's a Thursday. Yeah, great. What's a Saturday night like? And he says, well, generally it's either 75-75, or sometimes if they want, they'll do the ladies at 50 and the guys at 75 ahead to get in. That's just to get in. There's nothing included with that.
Do you want to know how much the
I was going to say drinks.
Table, you want to know how much the VIP
no
are?
Idea. I
want me to tell you?
Yeah, go ahead. I heard that, and it's like, oh, my gosh.
Because we did it. Yeah, so depending on where you're sitting, if you're sitting it depends if you're at Marquee on Monday, and it depends what night you are at, you know, for who's spinning, you know, because every night in Vegas it's a certain club for the nights, you know, your Monday night is Marquee, Tuesday night is XS, Wednesday night is, you know, Surrender, Thursday night is this. So they start at $5,000, and that does not include the bottle service, but you have to get bottle service. And then if you want one of the tables closer, right on top of the DJ booth, that's $10,000.
Goodness gracious.
That's at Marquee on a Monday night. On a Monday at Marquee.
I do not know why.
I guess I'm never experiencing that in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I'm almost there.
Wow.
I'm sorry that
but
it's
right now for me. Those, I know we've been talking about weddings and all that kind of stuff. And I know another person talked in the chat room about getting into the kids parties. Right now I have all the graduation parties coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So it is graduation time for me actually starting this weekend. I have junior high graduations starting next week. I have parties every single day and afternoon and evening of fourth grade elementary school because, you know, it's they're done with elementary and you have to have a dance party for them, Dan. Yes. So we have like fourth grade elementary school graduations. Mm-hmm. Then we have the field day parties in the morning for the middle school. We'll actually DJ their field day. So they'll do their field day. Then they'll come over to us and have the dance party. And then I have the eighth grade graduations at night and the high school graduations. And those are like 2 weeks straight where I don't even know if I played the song already because it's like my third party of the day. And I have like no clue what is happening and where I'm at and what's happening. But it's, 2 weeks of just graduation parties.
Wow.
For all ages. They book those. Yes.
Wow.
So that's a little niche for people that if they, you know, wanted it, if they don't mind doing kids parties, that's a little thing also to get into, because not only do we, the reason why we get the graduation parties is because we also do school parties for them throughout the year, you know, so, and ice cream socials and things like that for them. So they like us at that, then they book us. Now, is it great money? No, it's not great money, but if you're free on a Friday or a Thursday and you want to do one of these and you don't mind the hours and working, you know, it's a nice little 2 hour gig that, you know, could bring in some income for some people. MJ, did you find it yet while I'm talking?
I'm close because I'm seeing other posts around it. Because I'm just looking at my timeline in 2010 when that was up. So there's the event. That's, I can show you a video of the event itself. It was crazy. Getting close. I'm seeing more famous people that I've met. If I can't find this, I'm just going to feel really dumb. I already feel dumb, but you know what I mean? There's okay. Now I'm getting into pictures of the event. So it has to be right before the pictures of the event.
Got
to
be there somewhere.
It's got to be right there. Cause there's, I mean, it was big youth event. I mean, they had the guy who hosted it was the, believe it or not, the first white player for the Harlem Globetrotters. Not for the Washington Generals.
The Washington Generals.
Yeah. He was really neat story how he got into that. He ended up hurting his hip, and in the process of him rehabbing, the team he was playing for, a professional basketball team, started having him, you know, since he couldn't play, he had incredible dribbling skills. And they're like, well, we want to put you out on the floor and do, you know, some shows of some of your skills, you know, because the, you know, they, it's the way they, you know, get people to come in. And he ended up getting seen by the Harlem Globetrotters. And they're like, we'll hire you. You know, and you don't have to be able to run up and down the court for 20 minutes like a pro player would. You know, they're like, we'll just have you do little things here and there. So it was kind of neat. I think I'm probably going to call it because I can't. I don't know why it's not. I know it's. I thought I had it in Throwback Thursdays, but it's not anywhere. So I don't even know where it's at now. I know I have it. I'll post it or something. I don't know.
We'll look for it. Tomorrow night we will have Ben Stowe on at 9 o'clock Eastern, and then we have Brian Redd at 10 o'clock Eastern with our typical Tuesday night shows. Wednesday we're going to be doing a little bit different. We're going to be doing a little bit of a music show at 10 o'clock Eastern, but at 9 o'clock Eastern we're going to be doing a little webinar on Facebook advertising. So if you want to get in on that webinar, it's going to be a free webinar Wednesday night, but you need to go out to djntv.com/training, I believe, will get you there. But if you go to djntv.com, you'll find a spot where you can go and click there for the training. It's one of the buttons at the top. And sign up so you get the webinar link sent out to you, because we're only emailing that out. It will not be published anywhere else. So if you're interested in learning a little bit about Facebook advertising, that will be Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. That video will only be available afterwards to the insiders.
I found it.
Oh.
I can't believe I found it. All right, here we go. This is it. This was the billboard.
That's what we were waiting for.
I could have been eating dinner already. Oh, no, it's great. Love it.
Oh, I like that. You, everyone in the room who's had their face on a billboard, raise their hand.
Oh, on a billboard? Dan on a billboard? No,
billboard, not wanted. Poster.
Radio.
Yeah, the radio.
Oh,
Dan.
And you don't, you're not showing star. That off?
Yeah, wow.
Oops, my mic fell off. You're not showing that off, Dan. Come on.
No. No, that's for me.
that makes him feel
and for everybody who saw it 10 years ago.
Well, thank you guys for watching tonight. We're going to wrap things up. And again, we'll be back tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, or excuse me, 9 o'clock Eastern. We'll catch you then. And then of course, next Monday with MJ's next topic, which I don't think he told us, did he?
And a billboard.
And a billboard. It'll be awesome.
Good night, everybody. I'm so salty right now.
Good night, everybody.